Those words from the prophet Habakkuk from the first reading are pretty emotionally gripping. And they can resonate probably with many, if not most of us, on one level or another, at one time or another. Maybe with Tiger fans from last night in a particular way. How long, O Lord? I cry for help, but you do not listen. I cry out to you, violence, but you do not intervene. In this fallen world, it seems that we most often need to wait. And we very often see violence around us. You know, if we were in Ukraine right now, or in the path of a hurricane, these words would take on an even more powerful meaning. The response of the Lord to Habakkuk and to us is twofold. First, he says, don't forget the vision. What's the vision? With the prophets, the vision was always one of conversion and redemption. You know, in God's vision, he'll use all the stuff of this world, including suffering and even the violence of evil men and women, to wake us up to our need for conversion. Conversion to him and redemption from him. The struggles that we have in this life are always reminders to us of the limitations of our own strength. So when we're struggling with this, that, or the other, don't forget the vision. God has never forgotten us, but he has a vision to lead us deeper to conversion and redemption. The second response that he gives to us is wait for it, but he says particularly wait in faith. It's a powerful reminder to us that redemption, and not some worldly fix that temporarily helps a few and forgets many more, but real authentic redemption, that comes from God alone. Wait for it in faith, in trust, with hope and love. That's one of the many reasons why we come together as church, why it's important for us to do that. Because waiting in faith, hope, and love isn't easy. And it's easy for us to lose sight of the vision or to get that vision twisted up. Here in this church, we restore our connection and communion with Christ, our redemption, and with his body, the church. In the gospel, Christ speaks to us about faith. The apostles cry out with a simple and beautiful prayer, increase our faith. It's a good prayer to make every day. Increase our faith. Jesus responds to this prayer in an interesting way. He says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. First of all, why is he picking on a mulberry tree? What's he got against mulberries? Poor tree's not going to last very long at the bottom of the ocean now, is it? The leaves of one explanation for this could be that the leaves of mulberry trees often served as food for worms that were highly destructive to lots of other vegetation. And also very interesting, elsewhere in the gospel, Jesus describes the devil as a worm. Genesis describes the devil as a large serpent. And the book of Revelation describes the devil as a giant red dragon. Both pretty daunting figures for us mere mortals. But Jesus, the divine creator and ruler of the universe, describes him as a worm. So it could be that Jesus was looking at a particularly wormy mulberry tree and telling us that an important step for us to increase our faith is to make a break with those sinful habits that feed the devil's influence in our lives. What might be some of the sinful habits that keep the devil around, that keep his influence strong in our lives? Sinful habits are things that we can indeed change with the grace of God, and I would say with the help of the sacraments, especially reconciliation and frequent communion. So that could be one reason why he picked on that mulberry tree. To increase our faith, he calls us to eliminate our sinful habits. Even more importantly, we need to see clearly what's going on when Jesus says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. By faith, he means faith in God, trust in God. He didn't say, if we just believe in ourselves enough, then we could accomplish miracles. He didn't say, if we just have enough faith in ourselves. That's what society says all the time, right? Believe in yourself. Have faith in yourself. Have more faith in yourself. No. Self-esteem doesn't flow from self-love. Self-esteem flows from the love of others, and most essentially from the love of God. The love of God revealed to us in Christ through the cross that will never die. We don't trust in our own strength and power. We trust in God's love for us. And if God were to say to me, tell that mulberry tree in your life to be uprooted and planted in the sea, then I'm not doing it by my own power. I'm doing it through the faith and the power of God, in obedience to the command of God. You know, if our church has what we call the rite of major exorcism, right? Where a priest is delegated by the bishop, only by authority of the bishop, together with others, to cast out evil from a particular person's life when there's full possession going on. But all of us, by virtue of our baptism, by virtue of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that we received at our baptism, we all have been given the authority to do what we call minor exorcisms, which is exactly what Jesus is saying in the gospel today. This evil spirit, this mulberry tree, that's influencing my life right now, in the name of Jesus, be uprooted and cast into the sea, into the abyss, into chaos. Go back to hell where you belong and leave me alone. We all have the authority to do that, the necessity to do that. And that's by the command of God, not our own power. That's why that next part of the gospel is so important, because it tells us that we are called to be servants of God. We can work miracles only as servants of God. Jesus says at the end, say, I've only done what I was commanded to do. It's not my power. It's God's command. We can work miracles as servants of God. To be a servant of God is to be truly free. That's why in our second reading today from St. Paul, his letter to Timothy, he opens that letter describing himself as a servant or a slave of Christ, which is what then enables him to say in that reading that we heard today, God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but of power and love and self-control. Paul reminds Timothy, and he teaches all of us, to stir into flame the gift of God that you have received through the imposition of my hands. Paul had ordained Timothy as a bishop in the church. And he reminds him, this is a gift from God. It's not your own power. What a beautiful gift the church has from Christ, and the gift of the bishops as successors to the apostles. The bishops and their close collaborators, the priests, guard the deposit of faith for us, helping us to know the mulberry trees or sinful habits that we need the power of God to cast out from our lives. And they provide for us the sacraments that bring us into such beautiful connection and communion with the power of Christ that's still at work in our world today and in the sacraments today. So I encourage all of us to hear the voice of Christ calling those in our midst to respond to his call to serve as priests or religious in the church. He continues to call. We need to listen and to respond. So there's some important, I would say, two steps for all of us here. First is to continue to gather as church, as the body of Christ, where our faith, hope, and love are nourished and strengthened by the sacraments and the community. Second is to receive the sacraments and to act on the faith, hope, and love that we receive by listening to Christ, casting out the sinful habits in our lives that weigh us down and hold us back. Trust in the Lord. Listen to the Lord. And act in the Lord. So here's the homework for the week. Stir into flame that vision of conversion and redemption that the Lord has for you. Ask him to show you the mulberry trees that need casting out, and put your trust in him when you do so.